Tonight we have four performers who will each take about 25 minutes to strut their stuff. And the first one is someone I know pretty well. His name is Norm Brecky. He is the vice president of the Seattle Storytellers Guild. He is one of the lucky storytellers because he uses storytelling in his work every day. Because before those kids that he teaches goes home for the day, they will have had a story. And he also teaches a class after school to young performers so that they have the opportunity to learn stories and get up and have a show. Now, before Norm comes up here, I just kind of like to set the mood a little bit, if you would indulge me. If you are a dreamer, come in. If you are a dreamer, a wisher, a liar, a hoper, a prayer, a magic bean buyer. If you're a pretender, come sit by our fire, for we have some flax golden tales to spin. Come in. Come in. And that's by Shel Silverstein. Please, a big Folk Life welcome to Norm Brecky.
Well, it's kind of neat. The community is the theme. And I see a lot of people from my community, from my work community, from my extended storytelling community. And so it's kind of brings everything together. Now, tonight I decided to do something a little different than I usually do, and that's talk about something that has pestered me for my whole life just about, and that's been fear and overcoming fear. I always seemed like I'm afraid of something. And now, I wasn't when I was a little kid. I was taught to be very fearless because we had a very fearless family. My older brother was a big wrestling star, and my sister was a tomboy, and my other brother was a great hunter. And so they were quite a bit older than me, so I was going to go into school and be fearless. And boy, I'll tell you, kindergarten really scared me, scared the heck out of me. I ended up being a kindergarten teacher, which is kind of funny. I wanted to play baseball, and I found myself just petrified when they started pitching those balls in there. There was no T-ball back in those days. And then eventually that fear turned into success, but then it turned into fear of striking out after worrying about the ball hitting me. And so throughout my life, I've had some fear, and I'll go into it a little more later, but I'd like to start with a song and then tell three stories about people overcoming their fear. And the song is actually not a folk song. It's a song by R.E.M., and I'll kind of intersperse that, and you'll see how the theme goes. We'll see. There was a village that lived in a valley. This valley was dirty. The water was poor, tasted bad, and was muddy. Now, just over the mountain, the old folks told of a wonderful valley where there were apple trees, cherry trees, and great soil. But between them and that valley was the creature. Now, the old folks talked of how people had gone up over that valley and tried to cross the pass, but each time they had encountered a creature. And now there was a young girl, and she asked a lot of questions about it. She thought, well, it's right over the valley. Can't we make it? They said, oh, no. One old folk would say, oh, there's a creature up there, and it's white as a ghost, and it has a huge shock of hair. The next person would say, it's pitch black with long, stringy hair. The next would say red. The next would say it was yellow. This confused the girl, and she grew up to be 13 years old, and she said, you know, no one's happy here. I think I should go. And so she did. And she started to walk up the path, and it started to rain on her face. And as she walked along it, the weather got a little worse and a little worse, and the rain got harder, and the wind got harder, and she pulled her coat around her, but she kept walking. And then hail began to hit her face. She started to think there was something to those old stories. And then she got a little further up the hill, and lightning started to strike near her, and thunder in her ears. And next thing, there was a tornado that almost took her right off the path and over the ledge. But she kept walking and walking until she got up towards the top. And then the weather got quieter. Quieter. And then off in the distance, she could see a figure. It was blurry, and there was a huge cloud over it. And she walked closer and closer. How she was afraid. She was very afraid, but she kept walking. She got closer and closer. And as she got closer, the figure seemed to get smaller and smaller. So small, in fact, that when she got right up to it, it was no larger than a pebble. And she reached down and picked it up. Who are you? She asked.
I am fear,
said a small voice. Not anymore. And she took that. No, I won't throw it away. She took it and she put it in her breast pocket. And there it stayed. Now she went back down the hill and led her people to the next valley over. And I've heard they still live there today. Such is fear.
Say, keep within the boundaries if you want to play. Say, contradiction.
Once a young couple in the Philippines. They were so excited to be together. They had dreams, big dreams. The man, he wanted to be a fisherman. It's really what he wanted to do, and he was a fisherman, sort of. He was a deckhand, but he couldn't always get work, and so he ended up working as doing odd jobs around the village. She was an artist. She made little soaps for people and did mending, but her real talent was pottery. She made some of the most beautiful plates, goblets, cups. But when she made a vase, it was made with such love, and the painting on it was so beautiful. Anyone looking at it could tell it was a lovely thing. Well, she made her pottery on the side, and they worked and worked, and they wanted to get a shop. Oh, she wanted a shop. And he said, yes, yes, I want a shop too. And so finally they saved enough money to rent a house in town. Now this was a small house in the middle of town, and they decided they would just make the living room into the shop, and they would live in the back. And they would make the fireplace into her kiln, and that way she could do all her pottery. Well, they got ready for the opening of the shop, and he hung his fish out front. She accepted it, okay. They walked out in front of their little shop, and they looked around, and they were right in the middle of where a lot of folks hung out. There was the barber next door, and there were always people in and out over there. And the butcher was across the way, and he liked to stand in front of his shop and wipe his hands on his apron. And over here, well, there was the coffee shop where all the old men liked to sit around and talk about how the old days were much better than these days, and I'm not sure what's happening these days. Man, these young people, I don't know. Well, it was a perfect location because the sea was down this direction, and they thought, well, that way he can go down to the boats whenever he liked. Well, they opened up the shop, and they proudly stood out front, and no one came. Not one person. No one came the next day and the next and the next. Until finally, the man said, listen, I got to go get some work. I'm afraid this is just not going to work. So I'm going to go out and do my odd jobs. Good luck, honey, but maybe we need to leave this behind. Now, she was very afraid, too. They had put a lot of money and time into opening this shop. But she continued on, making more and more inventory, and she got better and better at her skill. And her painting on each vase was better and better and better. Well, time went by, and the plates were really stacking up. And one day she was just closing up the shop and stretching her back when she saw all the old men that was, or the barber was over here sweeping the walk, and all the men were complaining. And then she looked towards the sea, and she saw three lovely women walking along. Oh, they were gorgeous with long black hair. And as they walked, they just seemed to glide along. They were so graceful, not like anybody in their town. And they were so beautiful, and their robes were silk. You could see it blowing in the wind. The lead one was in purple, another in yellow, and yet another in pink. Oh. And they walked down the sidewalk, and they went in the shop. She had a customer. She followed them in, and the woman in purple picked up her newest creation, a vase with a seascape on it. And she said, how much? And the woman said, 20 pesetas. Oh, a good price. And she reached in a little coin purse, and she pulled out with her thin fingers a 20 peseta piece. It was old and gnarled. She put it in the shopkeeper's hand, and she looked at it, and it looked good. So she put it in her strong box, one lonely coin in the strong box. And she said, thank you, I'll wrap it up for you. No, we'll take it like as is. Well, thank you. They walked out of the shop and went back the way they had come. And she watched them go because they were so graceful. And then her husband walked past them. She said, oh, husband, I made a sale. He came up. He said, oh, you made a sale. What'd you sell? Well, that newest vase. Actually, I sold it to those three women. What women? Husband. They were gorgeous. Surely you saw them. No, I saw no women. Really? Barber, you saw the women, right? No, no women. Butcher, you saw those women. Now, come on. No, I didn't see anything. Sorry. Old men, now, you're not dead yet. I mean, you saw those three beautiful women, didn't you? No, sorry. Huh. She went back to the strong box. Oh, sorry. She opened it up, and she got the coin out, and she was about ready to show it to her husband when she said, no, I think I'll put it in my pocket. And there it stayed. Well, the next day, she started the kiln up, and she was doing some work. She was about ready to fire up the, get the wheel going, and customers came in, and more customers. She had a great day, a booming business. The next day and the next day, week after week passed, she had to get people to work in the store for her. And eventually, the whole house was the store, and people were coming from all over. They had a nice home built by the water, and her husband got his boat. Oh, they were such a success. Overnight, it seemed like. Well, one day she was finishing up at the kiln. She was quite hot. She sent her workers home, and she was closing up the shop herself. She looked around at her little neighborhood and was feeling satisfied when she noticed the three women walking down the street, gliding along so gracefully. She got out of their way as they walked in the shop. She said, you're here for the coin, aren't you? Yes. Yes, we are. She put it in the woman in purple's hand and said, give it to somebody who's not afraid, who works hard. She said, yes. Yes. Thank you. They left the shop and they walked down the road, down the sidewalk, and she watched them as they left. And they slowly, slowly faded into mist. The coin. Thank you. Now a little bit of fun, thanks to Marguerite McDonald. I'm going to need your help with this story. It's called Little Bird, and everybody needs to stand up and do a little flying. Can you flap your wings? You need to watch out for your neighbor a little bit. Yeah. Good job. Good. Very good. Ooh, I see some good flappers. Excellent job. Well, this is a story from Africa. Gambia, actually. Long ago, there was a little bird. Now, a little bird, he loved to fly. What was his favorite thing to do? It was his passion. He loved it. Now, he was not the highest flyer in the world, nor was he the fastest flyer. And he wasn't the best at maneuvering either, but he loved to fly. So he would wake up in the morning, and he would start to fly. And he would fly high. He would fly low. He'd fly to the left. He'd fly to the right. He flew and flew and flew and flew until one day his foot fell off. Now, landing was going to be tough, but he wasn't afraid. He said, I love to fly. I can still fly. I'm going to do it. So he would wake up in the morning, and he would fly high. He would fly low. You can help me out. He would fly to the left. He'd fly to the right. He flew and flew and flew and flew until one day his other foot fell off. Now, landing was next to impossible, but he could still fly. He still had wings. He could do it. So he would wake up in the morning, and he would start to fly high. He would fly low. He'd fly to the left. He'd fly to the right. He flew and flew and flew and flew until one day half of the feathers fell off of half his head. He was an ugly bird. But he could still do what?
Fly.
Oh, so he would wake up in the morning, and he would fly high. He would fly low, he'd fly to the left, he'd fly to the right. He flew and flew and flew and flew until one day his beak fell off. Now, he looked a little like he had a mohawk, and he was not doing too well. Food was tough to come by, but he still could do the thing that he loved to do the most. It was his passion, and so he could still what? So he did it. He woke up and he flew high. He flew low. He flew to the left. He flew to the right. He flew and flew and flew and flew until, of course, those other feathers fell off the other side of his head. He was bald as a cue ball. Now, and not a majestic bald like an eagle, like more like a James Carville bald, you know. And so, but he was an ugly bird. He had a hard time eating. He had a heck of a time landing, but he could still do the thing he loved, which was
fly.
So he would fly high, he would fly low, he'd fly to the left, he'd fly to the right, he flew and flew and flew and flew until one of his wings fell off. Hey, if he went really, really hard, he could still fly. Oh, he could still do what he loved. So that's what he did. He flew high. He flew low. He flew to the left. 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 He flew and flew and flew and flew until one day the other wing fell off. Now, little bird could not fly anymore. But he did know that he had done the thing that he loved to do most in the entire world as much as he could, as long as he could. And best of all, he could remember how he used to fly high. He flew low. He flew to the left. He flew to the right. He flew and flew and flew. And so can you, little bird. Thank you very much. You always guarantee yourself a standing ovation if you have the audience stand up for the last story. I would like to thank REM for inspiring me. I actually saw them perform that right here at Seattle Center. Went right home and started playing that on the acoustic guitar and had to come up with a whole different thing because it's very electric. And I'd like to also thank Dan Keating for the fear story. It's from the Middle East. I'd like to thank Kathleen Reagan for the coin from the Philippines. And, of course, Margaret Reed McDonald, who is the mother of, maybe the aunt of all storytelling in the area after Vi Hibbard. Anyway, thank you very much. Thank you.